Ooh, it's a little too hot. There we go. All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Glen Arbor. Particular welcome to visitors this morning, and I think we're glad that you're here. We're going to be talking about communication with God. Now, one of the first things I need to let you know is, and many people will say it, so I'll just say it now. So I cut myself shaving right here this morning, and so that and it always happens on some kind of day where I'm ready to talk or give a presentation, you cut yourself or you hurt yourself or something like that, and that happened today. So we know God is behind it. We're going to be talking, with that out of the way, we're talking about spiritual communication with God. And last time, this is part of a larger series called Being Spiritual. And Mike is doing a series on spiritual identity. Dean is on spiritual well-being. And I talked about listening last time, listening to others, listening to God, and listening to ourselves. And if you remember, we practiced some different things. We did reflective listening, where we, you know, just listen and then basically make sure that telling the other person we understood what they were saying. And then listening to ourselves through journaling our thoughts, maybe writing down what we are thinking or feeling at that time, and then communicating that to God and listening to God and what, sharing those with God and listening to what maybe He has to say to our hearts and what His answer might be for those things. So this is now really starting to focus on different ways we can communicate with God. And so this might be different in some ways. The first thing you need to do, if you're going to do this, is get your heart ready with these three truths. So the first truth that we're going to share, and I'm going to have some of these verses up here for you, is that you need God to live. Seems pretty obvious, but specifically His Word. You know, in Matthew 4:4, it says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We can't, just by eating and sleeping and doing the physical things, there's more to life than that. Right? There's a spiritual element to each one of us. And you need God to live. Anything else is not really life. It's just existence. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You cannot live, really live, by following the crowd. Or just do what the world is doing for its own satisfaction. This is from another Romans verse. In the same way, it's saying the same thing. It's not a different Romans verse. It's the same Romans verse in a different translation. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be new and a different person with a fresh newness that is all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how His ways will really satisfy you." You need to really, for any of this to work, anything that we're talking about today or in the other days, for this to work, the concept of, I want to be more like Christ, when you say that, it's got to be really true. It's got to be something that you really want. I can tell, you know, if someone says that to me, I can tell when they're just, you know, throwing up fluff, they're just a poser. They really are just telling me what they think I want to hear, or they really mean it. You need to be honest with yourself, first of all, about your desire for change. Are you really just kind of a blade runner, in a sense, running down the middle of a blade, working at both sides of the fence, as it were? You know, if you decide, I'm going to lose weight, but secretly, I'm in the background eating those little candy peeps. You ever eat those? No, that wouldn't be a temptation at all for me. You know, someone brought those, you know, at work. So, you know, like after Easter, all the candy that the kids hated ends up at work. You know, and the peeps are like the first things that come out, and there's piles and piles of them. And you know that, okay, this is what no one else liked. But what's really sad is they disappear anyway. So someone is eating them, is like, well, this is the only food I actually eat, I can get. But if you're secretly, if you really want to lose weight, but you're secretly eating snacks on the side, or you're really not serious about it, then you're really not going to change, right? So this is, I'm glad that Abby mentioned David, because here's someone that really wanted change for his life. He wanted to be different. He said, "Search me," in Psalm 139, "O God, and know my heart, know me, know who I am. Try me and know my thoughts." One translation says, "And know my anxious heart, thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." This is real change. This is what he really wanted. It's kind of like the red and blue pill. You're familiar with The Matrix, that movie, and at the in part of the movie, he offers Neo the red pill, which is truth, or the blue pill, he can go back to his own life, the way it was. And to really understand this as we proceed, if you really want change, you are taking the red pill. It is harder. It is harder. There's no doubt about it. But it is better. So if this is something that you really want, then we're going to practice these things together even. So I have three exercises that we're going to do today. It's three things that I think might help you. These are things that I've done and I don't do every day, but that we they may be new to you, they may not be new to you. So, but we're communicating through His Word, and it's each of these are two-way communications, not just like, for example, reading His Word and then walking away, or a song and walking away, or communicating through His presence. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and we're going to practice these things even now, so you can get a little feel for them if you haven't before. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your presence. You're here right now, and you are concerned about each one of us. You're concerned about even now, we're thinking about other things. We're thinking about, oh, the cleanup work I have to do, or what's going to happen tomorrow, or what's going to happen this week. Lord, help us to put that aside for you. This is your time. This is your time to talk to us. This is our time to talk to you. This is the relationship we talk about. When we say having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this is what it means. Lord, we want undivided devotion to you and attention right now. Teach us something new today for each one of us. In your name, amen. All right. So many of you have Bible reading plans, right? I assume you're reading your Bible maybe daily or every other day. And many of you have, I don't have my phone with me, but like the YouVersion where it actually goes through each item and then it reads it to you. I like that because reading it myself is too much work now. You know, I'd rather have the phone do it for me. And so, and it always, since I read the New American Standard, it's always happily starts with, you know, let's say it's Titus, you know, Titus chapter 1. Or it'll say the New American Standard Bible, copyright by the Lachman Foundation, Titus chapter 1. All right, here we go, you know. Have you ever read the Bible in a year, some of you? I've done it few times, or listen to it in a year. And that's great. This is a little bit more than what I'm talking about. So in Matthew 4:4, we learned that you can't live without His Word, without His truth. And one of the things that in Book of Joshua talks about, this book of the law, it's referring to God's Word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. It's a common verse many of you know. So King David, who I'm going to refer to a lot, I'm glad Abby brought him up, is that thought God's word was so important, he compares it to a strong tree. And this is the very first psalm. You know, David wrote a lot of the psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he wrote many of them. And he starts the whole book of Psalms, or the very first one that's in there, is about this type of relationship, about this communication, which you see throughout the entire book of Psalms. And I wish I had time to go into that, but we don't. But he starts off, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. So again, there's this kind of, you're going to gain from this relationship by living, not only hearing the truth, but living it out. So you'll notice that my background is a tree that's by the water. And it looks like it's big and strong and so on. And it's kind of an image of that. But how do we, the two verses, it talks about meditating on it. Well, how can we do that better? Well, we can think about it more. We can, that's fine. We just like, Lord, what do you want to show me about that? That'd be good. How do we meditate? How do we communicate then through God's word? How do we do that in two-way communication? And there are many ways that you can do that. I'm going to show one that maybe work for you that maybe you haven't heard of before. Some of you had. One way is praying through the Bible. So if you haven't heard that before, this is something we're going to practice even now. So you kind of take a passage or take what you're working on or meditate on it, let's say whatever it is, and you read it or listen to it, whatever you do, and then as part of your regular reading, and I've done this before, if I'm listening to it, I pause it, say, you know, whatever, where it is, and I respond in prayer to it. So if it's, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, Lord, thank you, you're saying that. You want to bless me. Lord, thank you that you don't want me to walk in the counsel of the wicked. You know, there's someone at work that says things that I don't think are what you want me to do. Should I do them? You know, apply it to my life. This is really happening. Lord, I don't want to follow that direction. If there's times where I'm following that direction, I want you to point it out to me. So that's real two-way communication. In his word, whatever might come to mind, he'll give to you. And if you don't know what to say in thankfulness. You can start with songs. We're going to talk about this a little bit, but some of the verses you can turn into songs. They are songs, and I'll show you a few examples of that. And you can respond again in prayer to it. Whatever comes to mind in thankfulness, in the thoughts and praise, and that two-way communication. Maybe there's something particular that's troubling you, which most of us have, and that will really apply to me. Lord, I want to be like a tree firmly planted. How do I do that better? So in this example, let's try it. So we already did part of this verse. So let's say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Lord, how do I make my delight be that? Lord, how do you want me to change in such a way that I would be, that really would be true? I don't feel that that's true in my life. Lord, change, make that a change in my life. I want to be delighted in whatever you say. Lord, I want to be one that meditates day and night. How do I do that, Lord? I want to be like this tree that's planted in firm water. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Thank you that it really does yield fruit in my life. And I remember when it did. Does. I can think of several situations where that's happened. Lord, I don't want to wither away. I want to be something that you can use. If I go back to the previous verse, let's do this as an example. So, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on a day in life. Lord, there are times when I forget your word. I wish I want it never to depart. Lord, I want it to be a part of my life. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you. I praise you, Lord. And, you know, that reminds me of that song, right? This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Just join in whenever you want. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. All right, I will stop the pain now. Maybe it reminds me of that song. Let's do an exercise, and I'm going to let you, you can look up in your electronic Bibles, or there's Bibles in your pews now. I want you to pick out something. I have something here for you, if you wish, if you feel like I can't find anything quickly. So let's just, I'm going to give you a few moments. Look at the, here's a verse you can use. You can pick your own verse. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. I'll give you a few moments. Just try what I've just done and see how that works, and then I'll close this in prayer. So let's just try. Let's just bow our heads in prayer, and you can meditate on this verse or meditate on another verse, but just try that, and then just do this two-way communication with the Lord. Lord, as I read this verse that's in front of me, I think I look at the last part. It just says, exposing us for what we really are. I don't want you to expose me for what I really am. It's ugly. I don't want you to cut into me. I don't. That sounds painful, Lord, but you're also gentle and you're true, and your word is living power. And I trust what you say, Lord. And I praise you for even wanting to be the surgeon that works with me. Lord, I just ask that you would show me this, Lord, that you would do this, that you would really cut into the innermost part of me, Lord, and show me where I need to change. Lord, I am taking on the red pill, as it were. And we'll see how deep the rabbit hole goes. Lord, I just ask that you, for all of us, that we be really willing to do that with you holding our hand. In your name we pray. Amen. How many for you, this was the first time you ever tried something like that? Really pretty. Okay. What'd you think? Okay. 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 Someone else raised their hand over here. I thought... No one else, everyone else has done that before? Or is too afraid that I'll call on them? Okay. All right. So, thank you, Amy, for being brave. So, that's something you can add to your repertoire, since all of you have done it before. Well, you don't have to worry about it, but that's something you could even practice. It doesn't not have to be on a daily basis, but I would recommend it. If you really want it, though, he will show you what he can do. So it's a part of your relationship with him. And so it's really is much really great for communication with him. So communicating through his word. I actually have a book that's called Praying Through the Bible. And it basically is, even though there's a lot of words, it really just shows you how to do this maybe in a more effective way. And you can ask me more about it. But that's basically it, between you and the Lord, really just talking through his word and praying with him about it. So the next item is communicating with song. So that's the first thing we did this morning. We worshiped him. We sang together. And it's not the first thing you want to do. Usually it's not the first thing you want to do when you get up in the morning, you know. particularly where there's other people in the house, right? It's like, praise the Lord in song, Lord. He has done excellent things. Quiet! Right? It's not what you usually think of. Did you know that Christianity is one, if not the only religion, that uses music to worship? It's unusual, but we do. And so why do we do that? Well, we're commanded to do that. It says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. It's a commandment to sing, whether you're good at it or not. We're commanded to. Music can express so much more of what's going on inside than we can just by speaking. You ever notice that? It's like, I can't find the words, or I can't find the expression, or I can't find the emotion, but this song says it for me. Right? You ever have that happen? So it connects to the heart and head together like nothing else can, really. I don't know why it was, but for example, I was listening to one song. It's in Italian, right? It's called Resta Qui, which is by Andrea Bocelli. And what I was like really emotionally connecting with the song, this is so beautiful, but it really makes me sad. And I couldn't figure out why. And I can't speak Italian. But Resta Qui means stay here with me. And I could feel the emotion of that. I could feel, oh, maybe I feel it really strongly. I feel like maybe in some point I feel like really I'm alone. And that really connected with me, and maybe it might connect with you. Music is a language of the heart. We love it. It's a spiritual mechanism that the Lord created so we can commune with the Lord too, not with just with each other, but with Him as well. He wouldn't have created it just for us. He created for everyone, for us to commune with Him. He says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now look at this. It's not just for your entertainment. It says teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, which is songs, and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So it's talking about the word of Christ richly dwelling within you with all wisdom. So it's all mixed together. It's not just a song, a happy song, you know, don't worry, be happy, right? It's much, much more than that. It's expanding to include His wisdom, His truth, His all of that. And we would say, yeah, we agree with that. That's why we sing on Sunday morning. It's together because we're commanded to do it. We're commanded to sing together and share songs and hymns. The whole book of Psalm is based on this. You ever notice at the top of, maybe in your Bibles, is they'll have a section before the psalm actually starts. It says, for the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of God. You might think, oh, this was put there by the people that, you know, by the Lachman Foundation, right? No, this is from the text. This is really what it says. This is a song. It's for the choir director, whoever that is, a psalm of David. So remember, Abby mentioned David is he put songs together because he was probably a pretty emotional guy. And that shows up in several ways. You know, he got really mad, right, when Goliath made fun of God and made fun of Israel. It's like, oh, let me at him, right? A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul. And he said thus. Here's the song. So this was expressed in song form. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. He's excited. He's singing to the Lord this. We don't know, you know, how this came out in Hebrew, but I'm sure it probably rhymed, maybe even better. I don't know if it rhymed, right? My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Music is so important to us, right? Churches have come together and divided over this issue on songs and music. And, well, you might say, well, I don't like this band, man. I don't like these songs. You know, but I would listen to what are they really saying? You know, I recently kind of reproved myself or thought about this. You know, we sing songs to commune with God, not to have the band be cool. But we kind of think that in the back of our mind. You know, is this a good presentation? Is this a good song? Is it, you know, snappy? You know, we sing songs because he commands us not to show off our voice and our talent. As I said many times, the band is not the show. The band, God is the show, right? You might say, well, I can't sing like, I can't sing like Ruthie Haworth, right? But I would think, you know, that might be good because you don't want Ruthie Haworth's voice coming out of your mouth. It would be very silly. That would be weird. But, I mean, I would like to sing well. That's what you really mean. And then I could really worship. If only I could sing well, then I could really worship. No, that's not what the Lord commands. He doesn't say, hey, if you can really sing out, everybody else be quiet. That's not what he says. He says, everyone sing out. No matter what is happening here, it doesn't matter. It's in the heart. It's what's coming out of here. If you can't worship, maybe there's nothing wrong with the song, right? Maybe there's nothing wrong with what the band. Maybe it is your heart. You can't really worship God unless there's a big show or there's explosions, you know, or like Chris is smashing the guitar while he's singing, you know. Well, then I can really worship the Lord, you know. Jesus! Now, that would be entertaining. I'd say that's pretty cool, you know. But that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. And, I have to admit, this is where I felt a little bad. We sang Jeremy Darling's song, Tremble. You know, if you tremble, you know, as we tremble at the sound or tremble at the measure. You know, I didn't originally like that song. And the reason I didn't was like, it just doesn't seem to resolve. You know, I can't. It's like, as we tremble at the sound of what? Of things, you know, or it's like, oh, just say something afterwards. And it really would bother me. It's like, I thought, well, then I finally got it at our Good Friday service. You know, it's like, because he says, at the cross, because of his blood. And it really is like, I get it now. It's what Jeremy was trying to express is, it finally, when I let it touch my heart, I finally realized I'm trembling. If I imagine I'm trembling at what he did for me, it's like, that's all I can do. Because if I imagine I'm really trembling at his power and his love for me, what else could I say? I think that's what's being expressed. What else could I do but tremble? It's kind of like, you're so awesome, right? He's so wonderful. I can't finish my sentence. I really can't. And I think that's what that song is trying to express. So there are many, many different ways we use song with Scripture, too. So in Awana, right, we use songs to memorize Scripture. Early in our movement, for example, Scripture songs help us memorize these songs. Like, remember, I sang Joshua 1, 8, and 9. That is early in the 70s, our movement to help people remember. It was really all we had. There really wasn't very much Christian music out there in the 70s when this movement was starting. It was very little. There's Keith Green and that was about it. As far as what I could call contemporary music, it was hymns, maybe Keith Green, and Terry Talbot, some other names you haven't heard. And there wasn't very much, not nearly as much as there is now. It's much, much larger. Now it's its own industry. But that's all we had. So people would come up with songs to go with the scripture, and then we would memorize them. And some of them are really good. Some of them are not that good. But some of them are really, really good. And what I've found is that there are people continuing to do this now, even now. And so as we read this psalm, this is a psalm that's used often at funerals. And Keith Green would sing this song too, and he had this. I want to share with you, why don't you go ahead I'm going to read this first before you do that. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, and you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All right, so I've just spoken it, and you've read it. So, that's very nice. Now you may put the body in the ground. So, now, go ahead and start this song. This is a group that just does scripture. And so we'll listen to this for a little bit. I'm not going to let it go the whole way. It has a little bit of an intro on it.
He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Oh,
second. So that really, you could pick that up pretty quickly, right? And I realized, oh yeah, I can remember it. So I walk through the valley. Right? Than me just reading it, didn't it really just come alive a lot more that we added a song to it? And these guys have a whole bunch of these, by the way. It's Labyrinth Songs, and they're really helpful in meditation and everything. They're on YouTube if you want. For sake of time, I was going to let that play, but I can't. It's more catchy, right? We remember it. So why do companies use jingles? You know, our whole mind and heart are engaged when that happens. It draws all of us in, and that's why music is introduced, why they use it. Music is not just for church anymore. It's for everything. You know, and it could be part of your walk with the Lord. You can sing. You can be out wherever you are, in the car. You sing in the car. You don't like to sing at work because people, okay, be quiet. Or you might be out on your prayer walks or whatever it is. You can use music and add music to your repertoire of your walk with the Lord. Some of you listen to Christian music and you sing to God. Worship Him. Right there, you don't need a band to do it. You can sing, and imagine you're really singing to Him. Sing to Jesus as part of your daily worship devotional. And I like to use scripture songs. It's how I remember. I've added a couple more, and it is perfect that it just so happens. Chris, the last song we sang was a song I'm going to use, and it is by coincidence, in theory. It's in coincidence, but I picked it because Chris told me that he couldn't forget this song out of his mind and that he wanted to play it. And what I thought was funny is that he would keep singing it while playing video games. And so as he's destroying aliens, he was singing this song, let me make sure I get this right. So, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, right? It's pretty snappy. It goes with it. So, you couldn't get it out of your head, and you started to remember it. So what I thought is I'll just practice with you. You don't have to do anything. So you might sing. Let's say this is the song as you're playing video games and you're destroying 3 million aliens from planet Mondor. But you'd be thinking about this. You don't have to sing the whole song through. So I am not ashamed. Whoop, I make sure I get this right. So I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Let's pause there for it. Thank you, Lord, that it's your power. I never want to be ashamed of this gospel. I'm so glad that you're with me now. You're a part of what I'm doing, Lord, and I want to be part of that too. And thank you for your salvation. This is for salvation to everyone who believes. To everyone who believes. Lord, I'm so glad that I believe, but I want my friends to believe too. Thank you so much for helping me with that. I could sing the rest of it, but for time's sake, I'm not going to. We also were kind of joking up on stages earlier, how long is the pause in between there? And I noticed you did 6 counts, and I said 4, but it could be as short as 2, so you figure out what you want. One more line. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. Well, while we were yet sinners. I really was a sinner, Lord. I was, but you wiped that all away because of your blood. You died for me. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. Praise your name, and I thank you this morning for that. Amen. All right. So that's how you can incorporate song into your times with the Lord, how you can communicate. He loves it. He really gets a kick out of it. He commands it. So didn't that really make it alive, right? You can even make up your own songs. Let's say you decide that you want to make your own Psalm 23 song. You could make, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So you could do that. Some verses really don't go well with songs. So like "Eglon is a very fat man," it would not be a good song. But you're free. You're free. You know, it's a free country. You can do what you want. So, but something like that, something that encourages you. Last area I want to kind of with you is communicate through his presence. So this is so important is that you really engage with him, is that if you're just going through the motions in this Christian life, nothing I say or do will make any difference until you embrace the Lord as a reality in your life, not just a cute side hobby. As we said in the beginning, he is real, right? So, and if we want real change, you need to be really committed to really experiencing his presence. If you want to get better at running, for example, you're going to need to run. If you want to win a race, you're going to have to run it with endurance. So let's listen. Here's a verse. It's through his word. We talked about that. "Listen, O heavens and earth. Listen to what I say. My word shall fall upon you like the gentle rain and dew, like rain upon the tender grass, like the showers on the hillside." When we pray through the Bible, we hear his word, allow him to touch your heart, and one day at a time. He also says in Jeremiah, "Does not my word burn like fire? Ask the Lord. Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes the rock to pieces?" What is it that the word burns and smashes? What is it that it does? What is it talking about? It's talking about our hearts. That doesn't sound very comfortable. But that's what he's talking about. Is it burns and it smashes our stubbornness and our pride. We are our own worst enemy, and we need to let him into our hearts any way we can through that meditation, through that song, be a part of what he's doing. Maybe you like poetry. You can write poetry. There's so many different ways we can express our love for the Lord, and he does to us. He is present. And 3 in 1, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you," it says in Psalm 73. "You have taken hold of my right hand." Not sometimes, but he is always with us, continually and always. Additionally, all three parts of God are present. So Jesus answered and said to him in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." In his presence, you can talk to God, to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We don't often talk to the Holy Spirit, kind of forget about him. But maybe you have a problem with God, but not Jesus, or not the Holy Spirit. Then you can tell him about your issue. Be aware and embrace all three. Maybe you don't feel like you can be in his presence, but he calls you anyway. Maybe you don't feel like you're worthy. Many people feel that way. "Remember these things, O Jacob, O Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You are not to be forgotten by me. I have wiped you out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." He does not say, "Your sins are too ugly, get away." He says, "Return to me because I have redeemed you." You are always welcome. Always seek his face and his presence. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I shall seek." Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. As soon as I say that, that song comes to mind, right? Open the eyes of my heart. Let me see you. I want to be in your presence. I want to seek your presence. Where can I go from your spirit, it says in Psalm 139. Where can I flee from your, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? That means he is here right now. You cannot flee. So right now, let's, as we close, and the music team is going to eventually come up here, is I want you to just feel his presence right now. And we'll take like a few seconds to pray quietly to ourselves. I want you to just feel his presence now. And even as we go forward in worship, that you would feel that. Lord, we just bow our heads right now and pray to you. Lord, I feel that you're here right now. You're speaking to each one of us. You have something to say. You know us better than we know ourselves. And I ask that you'd incorporate yourself into our lives. You would even more make yourself a part of who we are. We thank you that you're in our hearts. We thank you that you're always around us and you're not far away. You don't mind being in our presence. Help us to not mind being in yours. We do praise you and ask that you bless the rest of this service.